You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for April 6th, 2018. It's not safe for work.
Coming to you live from the soybean resistance, or house, or building, or whatever you want to call it, in tip-top shape. We call it tippy-top shape. It's the Professional Left with Drift Glass and Blue Gal. It is. Our network has conspired against us. Our equipment has failed us. Our cats are cutting wires in the backyard, I swear to God. but it did give me time to get in touch with the good people at Where the Good Lord Split You, Emergency Farewell Party Planners.
Yeah.
They have a new feature this week called the Blake Cake.
this is last minute. This shows that they are ready at the drop of a hat, because this just happened.
Hey, these people are so professional.
Yeah.
Apparently the cake is very, very white.
Mm-hmm.
It's misshapen. It's stale. It smells really bad. It should have been tossed out years and years ago. But what the hell? It's leaving now, and we'll take what we can get.
That's right.
That's the Blake cake. White, misshapen, and smells bad. And it's leaving. So that's the important part.
The Blake Fahrenthold congressional career is over.
Yeah, is over. So. I'm sorry, people. The age of Fahrenthold, the Fahrenthold Renaissance is over.
In his duck pajamas, his adult duck pajamas. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
And when Blake Fahrenthold is the least embarrassing thing the Republican Party did this week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
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 It does feel like, as I've said in take one, two, and three, like we're dealing with trench warfare, you know, and we don't know what's on the other side, when this is going to be over, how this is going to end. And it's hard. And I am coping with it by knitting prayer shawls for cancer patients and donating canned goods and contributing what I can to various causes, primarily our church's Building a Habitat for Humanity house this year.
Yep.
I did want to point out, in addition to our fundraising, that our friends over at The Bill Show are doing a fundraiser for new equipment for their podcast. So,
oh, we love those guys.
Yeah, we love those guys in Australia. And they're good guys. So if you have a few extra shekels, that's where to send them. In case you're
wondering who the good person is on this podcast, when you and I had a chat about it being trench warfare and just overwhelming and exhausting and kind of dispiriting,
mm-hmm.
My solution was grab a bottle of wine and sneak away with my wife to a motel. Your solution was knitting shawls for cancer patients. So, you know, I think we know who's going to heaven in this relationship. I'm just asking, just leave the back door open for me, honey. That's all I'm
okay,
asking. Just
right. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to heaven at all. I don't think the good Lord is going to keep me on the front lines. He's going to say, rest in peace. No, that's not for Blue Gal. Nope. She doesn't want to rest in peace. She's going to go right back out there.
We know, so. Mark Twain said, hell for the company, heaven for the climate. So
there you go. There you go. I just feel like there's some angels like Michael. I don't know if you're familiar with all the angels, but Michael fought the dragon in the Book of Revelation and carried a huge sword and a shield and was in full armor and is one of God's army. And I feel like, you know, that's where I've been most of my life. So.
He's not a pink-cheeked little baby with little tiny wings.
Oh, angel. Oh, I'm a little cherub. No, not that one. So
you're thinking of a different set of angels.
I thought what we'd do is start with the news roundup, and you do the odd ones, since you're the odd one.
Yeah, they're all odd, honey.
I know, but let's take turns reading these. We did have a lot of feedback. We've had a lot of feedback. Our sound is shitty. We know that. We're working on it. We've got... someone sent us a new cord for recording things, and we're going to try that out. We're actually trying a different way of recording the podcast this week. I don't know if it's going to work or not, but we are working on our sound quality. And please bear with us while we work on our sound quality. We know it hasn't been what we want it to be. So,
and I have committed to not moving my head at all during the entire podcast. It's really hard for me. I talk with my hands a lot, but I've discovered that if I move either slightly to the left or right, it's like I've fallen off the face of the earth. So
yeah,
I'm going to remain completely immobile. I will not pop my peas. Oh, God damn it. There I went. Which is bad because I've got Scott Pruitt up first. So are you ready for Scott Pruitt?
I'm ready.
Well, Scott Pruitt, as you all know, this is just for future generations who are looking back trying to figure out what the hell happened. Scott Pruitt is the head of the EPA and is the perfect Trump cabinet member because he is an absolute disaster at every single level. There's nothing about him that isn't absolutely horrifying. He is destroying and demoralizing his department. He's reversing everything the Obama administration did or tried to do, and he's looting the place in the process. He bypassed the White House in order to give his closest aides giant pay raises, which they certainly do not deserve. The $50 a night condo deal he had on the side that turned into the $50 a night plus my daughter stays for free. Apparently, the people who own the condo that he's staying at for next to nothing when he stays in Washington, are part of the company that the EPA approved their pipeline expansion plan last year. So,
and they also are in trouble now with the Washington, D.C. city government because they were not licensed to sublet in any way that apartment space.
It's Airbnb and B. It's air, bed, breakfast, and bribery. and it's a special going rate. But that one scandal is Teapot Dome. Mm-hmm. Now multiply that by 100, and that's the Trump administration. Everyone in the administration is this bad, including the kids, you know, his little inbred weird children, the goons that he hires, you know, his daughter, his son-in-law, all of his cabinet heads, they're all like this. So that's the story of Scott Pruitt. And we're up to Donald Trump talking about women.
Number two. Yeah. Donald Trump heard on Fox News on Sunday morning about caravans of immigrants headed for the U.S.-Mexico border. And they were going to bring suitcases with drugs and crime in them.
Yeah, suitcases full of crime. You know,
with the caravans and raping all the way up from Mexico. They were being raped at levels nobody's ever seen before. I cannot deal with someone this stupid. It's crazy. And again, we're going back to the fact that the president of the United States believes what he hears on Fox News. That's beyond belief. He didn't provide any evidence.
No, because there isn't any.
Because it was on, it was on Fox. That's his evidence. It was on the news. The news. They call it the news. That's why they call it Fox News. It's news, so it's true. So, of course, that's his evidence. And then he went to West Virginia event where he was supposed to talk about tax reform and wound up talking about Crooked Hillary.
Yeah, this was this was the tax talk. The theme this week was, I do love Infrastructure Week, Blue Gal, because it's always Infrastructure Week.
It's always Infrastructure Week.
This was going to be a tax talk, but he decided to skip that and talk about the rapey rapes. And then that millions of people are voting illegally in many places like California. The same person votes many times. You probably heard of that. They always say it's like a conspiracy theory. No, it's not a conspiracy theory, folks. Millions and millions of people. And it's very hard because the state guards their records. They don't want to see it. That is the president of the United States saying that the American democratic process, the voting process in this country, is hopelessly gutted in a giant conspiracy among states. This isn't Diebold. This isn't hacking. This is states are deliberately letting millions of people vote illegally and guarding their records so that President Stupid can't hear about it. Now, perhaps he should convene some sort of commission. That's right. And his commission, which was headed by Kris Kobach, who desperately wanted to find, five illegal voters somewhere so that he could make sure brown people can't vote in the next election, had to finally give up and say, we should take this up later. This is him hitting his big three or four. All he does all the time, every day, is run his campaign. His campaign is about scary Mexicans raping people and bringing drugs into the country, build my wall, getting the hell out of every place you can. Everyone cheats except me, and you can't trust the news. Those are the four things he talks about, and this and those are the four things he's going to talk about until, you know, 2000, until he's voted out of office or thrown out of office. It's not going to stop. And those are the four, and he's going to keep lying about it and lying about it and lying about it.
But Driftglass, yeah. I don't want anyone to think that Donald Trump isn't a generous person. He gave a huge present. Huge.
Maybe the biggest present ever.
To Stormy Daniels' attorney this week.
The biggest, most powerful present anyone has ever given to a lawyer.
It's a lovely present.
Lovely
gift
present.
Wrapped with a bow. It's it was
so
lovely.
Beautiful.
And he spoke to reporters on Air Force One and told them that he didn't know anything about $130,000. He didn't pay it, and he doesn't know anything about it, and that they should talk to his lawyer about it.
Yeah.
And everybody went, what?
What? Okay.
So Stormy Daniels' attorney was on CNN. He was on MSNBC. He was on, I think, four programs on MSNBC, I believe it was last night.
I saw him at D&J Diner this morning.
D&J Diner is three blocks from our house, folks. Yeah. That's why I laugh. Because he's everywhere.
There's a handful of Fox viewers. Breakfast eaters who didn't see the realization.
Yeah. And it just, he's walking tall and just saying, you know, this is a Christmas present to me. The line used to be, I didn't know Stormy Daniels. Apparently I had my picture taken with her once. Yeah. There was no affair. There was no contact of anything. I don't remember her. I don't know her. I don't know who she is. And now it's payoff. No, you'll have to ask Michael Cohen about $130,000 payment to her, which indicates to everybody who's putting two and two together that Cohen probably has a slush fund from Donald Trump with which he can create LLCs. And that's the other thing is Michael Cohen is creating aliases for Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump told the truth on Air Force One yesterday, which everybody knows he didn't, then if you take him at his word, then Michael Cohen should be disbarred. Because Michael Cohen created aliases for Donald Trump without his permission, without his knowledge, paid off a porn star right before the election with silence, or paid off her paid hush money to her right before the election and didn't tell
him. Invented a
contract with an alias for
which
him.
Donald Trump had no knowledge of and then
no knowledge of account, and then right
signed it or approved it
and insisted and now insists in court because they're suing Stormy Daniels for violating it. So and making noise about they're going to get $20 million from her and they're going to get this and that is now holding Donald Trump to that contract.
To be fair,
so
Lugal,
yeah,
inventing a contract with people who aren't present and then signing it on their behalf is how we created the country of Panama. So I'm just saying this is like the Hey Buena Varilla Treaty. Pull that out of my ass. Let me just tell you that it's a Friday. I'm pretty tired. But I pulled that. I think I stuck the landing on that. I probably mispronounced it.
I'm clapping. Yeah. I'm golf clapping for you right now. All right. Go ahead with the next item.
Speaking of foreign countries that we have strange relations with, Rex Tillerson apparently spent around $12 million on consultants to redesign the State Department, quote unquote redesign. As many as 90 consultants worked on the project, with some charging more than $300 an hour. This puts me in mind of the last full-time job I had where my boss needed his ego stroked constantly. So he hired a very expensive consultant to tell him all the people he needed to lay off, including me.
Yep.
Because we didn't have no money. So Rex Tillerson is doing Rex Tillerson is like what he was the smart one, you know, of all of Charlie's Angels, he was the smart one. But he blew $12 million of your dollars. I don't know, putting Art Deco up, lining the walls with vellum. I have no idea what this was spent on, but it was pissed away for no goddamn good reason while he just gutted the State Department and made sure that we were essentially without ambassadors, without a foreign policy apparatus to handle you know, the rest of the planet. So he did what Scott Pruitt did, which is loot the place while he was there, gut it while he was there, demoralize everyone who was there, and then, you know, butt scoot his way out of there. So way to go, Rex Tillerson. Your name will live on after you.
Yep. Speaking of people, a conservative was hired then fired at the Atlantic. Your class.
Yeah. We call it Scaramucci. We call it being Scaramucci. Mooched, if you will.
Or mooch. Evan Williamson, former correspondent at the National Review and frequent guest, I guess, on Fox News. It's a sad and familiar tale, Driftglass.
It is.
The conservative has a history of saying misogynist, Islamophobic, or racist bullshit. A mainstream media outlet seeks to expand the conversation.
We want to have the conversation.
Let's have the conversation. So they hire a conservative who has said misogynist, Islamophobic, and or racist bullshit for a byline and a paycheck at a mainstream media outlet. Because we want to have a conversation and make sure all voices are included.
Yeah, all voices. Except for liberals, of course. Well, but other than that, you're right. Yeah.
The conservatives' history of saying this, some people say, you know, maybe you don't want to hire that guy. A lot of that might be a problem. Mainstream media outlet realizes that they just legitimized his position. It's always a him.
As one
of many that should be heard, not recognizing until it was too late that hiring a writer with those positions means emphatically that your publication finds those positions legitimate. Okay.
Yes. Within the bounds.
Within the bounds. Mm-hmm. So then the mainstream media outlet fires the conservative and the conservative media screams bloody murder, First Amendment, liberal fascism. And liberals, how does it end? Liberals say, I told you so.
We told you so.
We told you 11 billionth time.
And we would say we told you so from, you know, the pinnacle of legitimate mainstream journalism. But we're not allowed to write for those publications.
No, we're not. Right. So it's Media Matters has a whole list of Kevin Williamson outrageous, whether they're trolling or actually his opinion. It's not just the, I think women who get abortions should be executed and lethal injection is too sanitary. I think they should be hung. It's other things in addition to that. They've got a whole list. I'm not going to go through that. But the thing is that there are a whole lot of white male conservative published byline paid to write journalists, quote unquote, out there in right wing media who are just outraged that someone of his caliber, of Kevin Williamson's, he's so eloquent and a wonderful writer and deep thinker and so forth.
So deep, so thinkful. Yes.
And David French saying, you know, I don't go as far as Kevin Williamson. I think only the doctor should face execution for murder, you know, not the woman. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, women will just live in Handmaid's Tale. Roy Edroso is the guy who wrote the best article about this whole firing. And I want to hat tip 10 grain for saying so, for sending me to that. That a really good article about why all of this isn't about civility.
Right.
It's not about debate or including a voice.
Nope.
It is about misogyny. It's about hating women and torturing women. And I have been very upset about this today. This has been kind of I was trying to figure out why I was so kind of blue. This guy is advocating for torturing women.
Yeah.
If you force a woman to carry a pregnancy to term when she has no capability of doing that or just doesn't want to, that's torture.
Of course it is.
And if men got pregnant, everyone would recognize that. Mm-hmm. But because men don't get pregnant and misogyny is the order of the day in our culture, and I'm going off on that hobby horse because I am furious by this. I can't believe that hatred of women to this extent is normalized. And it is. So I'm gonna get off my horse about it now, but it became very clear to me today in a way that it hasn't before, that forced pregnancy is torture.
Mm-hmm.
You're forcing a woman to give up her body when she doesn't want to.
Mm-hmm. And, for your purposes. That's yep.
For your purposes. For whatever your purposes are. And also, you are conveniently leaving out the sexual actions of men who impregnate women. And, you know, that's misogyny. That's what misogyny is. Okay.
Well, I just want to add two things, or one thing to that. And that is, speaking of extraordinarily privileged white male hacks who have no business being at the pinnacle of American letters, Bret Stephens. Bret Stephens of the New York. See, there, this bowling ball took down a lot of pins, a lot of very, very white pins. Bret Stephens was one of the first people. Bret Stephens is a Wall Street Journal right-wing climate-denying hack who the New York Times hired because that's what the New York Times does with hack conservatives. It gives them an unlimited budget and the biggest stage in the world because that's just what they do for balance because they want to include all the voices, Blue Gal, all the voices. As long as all the voices live within 9 blocks of the New York Times, that's who they want to include. And so Bret Stephens, immediately after Kevin Williamson was hired, all these flares went off. And, of course, people like Bret Stephens leaped to Mr. Williamson's defense saying, yeah, it was just a tweet. What's wrong with you people? It's just a goddamn tweet. But the predicate for his snide New York Times article, which was just a week ago, was you people don't know this guy. He's a gifted writer, and he's been very professional, and he's very good at what he does. And a whole bunch of people who don't even know this guy, never read him, have no idea who he is, because they're liberals, are jumping all over him, because that's what liberals do. And then somebody did exactly what he suggested. He read him. Actually, Media Matters had already done that. And it turned out Bret Stephens knows very nearly as much about Kevin Williamson as he knows about climate change, which is nothing. He had... His whole argument is how prolific this is, and how if you've read him in depth, you would realize. Well, people who have read him in depth said, no. This is what he believes. Here's example after example after example. How do you not know this? Well, it's my fellow conservative white man was being attacked by a bunch of liberals for something mean he said on Twitter. And if we started,
this is team defense, not.
And Bret Stephens has been very quiet today. Very, very quiet.
Well, and I was pleased to see that S.E. Cupp wrote an article. First of all, she put one razor in her apple, which is Kevin Williamson isn't a real conservative. Yeah, okay.
Well, just...
But she did say he should be fired. She said there's no point in arguing this. He should be fired. This is not policy. This is not something you can debate. If you're pro-life, you're pro-life. You don't believe in executions either, number one. And number two, it's not a voice that needs, this is not some sort of opinion that needs to be part of the discourse, right? Yeah, of executing women.
There's a very strong misunderstanding among the bros, among the waking up bros about how the First Amendment works. Yeah. You can say whatever you want, but you're not guaranteed a public platform for your view that someone else underwrites.
Or Eric a paycheck, Erickson. Yes, right.
Eric Erickson jumped right into the fray. This is about the left wanting a monopoly on the public square so that no one can be exposed to competing ideas.
Oh, he did more than that. Erickson said, there are two Americas and one America wants to silence the other one, in which I put up a tweet of Martin Luther King. You know, like, oh, really?
Really? That was
America wants to silence the other one, really? Oh, that's interesting.
And the Federalist, Ben Dominic's little magazine, you know, Ben Dominic, who just married Meghan McCain so that he could marry into the McCain family. The headline for the story was Kevin Williamson fired from the Atlantic for opposing abortion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even on Twitter, even Republicans are like, dude, that's just a lie. You're just lying now. Of course they are. Of course they are. Because they're losing. They're losing the argument. They're losing. They're showing who they really are. This is the great blessing of Donald Trump. He's taken off, washed away all the camouflage, all the makeup. This is who these people have been for all time. This is who they've always been. And they need people like the New York Times editorial page, like the Atlantic, to legitimize them. to dress them up in normal people clothes and say, no, this is a legitimate perspective and we need to hear it. No, we don't. It is a deranged perspective. Let them go off with their deranged friends and have their little deranged club and hate women and hate minorities and hate liberals all they want. But they don't have any ideas.
Well, that's freedom of speech within the framework of the Constitution. You are free to believe whatever crazy shit you want to believe. You're not free to infect the airwaves or the public square with hatred of 52% of the American population.
There's apparently a reaction to all this hatred. Would you like to talk about what that might be?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's my turn. A record-setting 309 women are running for seats in the U.S. House of Representatives, majority of them Democrats.
Lots and lots of women are just...
A lot of things things are going to change when that happens, folks. I think if the Atlantic had a couple more women in the loop of making a hiring decision, this whole Williamson thing might not have happened.
Think that might have happened?
Just
speaking as a liberal, think how few actual liberal voices there are out there anywhere in the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
We get to say things like we would say on this podcast, except without the swears. If anyone is underrepresented in the mainstream media, it's the liberal mm-hmm. point of view, mm-hmm. the true liberal mm-hmm. point of view. And that's that. But the problem is they don't want to have the conversation.
Right.
They want those customers. They want the 60 million morons who voted for Donald Trump to come in and buy dick pills and reverse mortgages.
Right, right.
And you don't get that by telling them, no, Kevin Williamson's a lunatic and we're not going to put him on our magazine masthead. No, we're not going to put hateful right-wing bomb-throwing dickheads on television. We're just not going to do it. That's not something we debate anymore. These people are beyond the pale. They're destructive. They're hateful. They're stupid and they lie and they don't deserve a public platform. Next question. That's not going to happen as long as those people have money in their pocket and they're willing to spend it on what advertisers are selling on the networks and in newspapers.
So, Drift Class, someone left the White House this week, not just Dr. Evil. You want to talk about that one?
H.R. McMaster. This was his last name. I thought all the time it was H.R. Puffin stuff. So, you know, blows me away. Apparently that wasn't H.R. McMaster. On his way out the door, almost literally on his way out the door, said Russia, denounced Russia, said we as a country have failed to impose significant costs on Russia for, you know, fucking around with us. At pretty much exactly the same time that Donald Trump was saying, nobody's been tougher on Russia than I have. Mm-hmm. Nobody, mm-hmm. nobody. I'm the toughest, most powerful baby in the whole universe, and I made Russia pay. And there's a lot of that going on now. The people who are sort of just are there and don't care are running their entire separate foreign policy or domestic policy, or just saying things that are in complete contradiction to what's coming out of the you know, President Stupid's mouth. And nobody cares because that's who these people are. Speaking of liars who don't care.
Roger Stone, who sent an email to Sam Nunberg saying, I dined with Julian Assange last night. And it's clear he was on Skype with Julian Assange. That's what was going on. He also predicted devastating leaks about the Clinton Foundation that same day and bragged about it. You know, he'd been doing all that bragging about time in the barrel for different people. And he's under investigation. It also appears that Eric Prince lied to Congress and that Mueller knows that. So, you know, the wheels are turning and we got to protect Mueller. And I do think Trump has had it hammered into his head by everybody that if you fire Mueller, your presidency is over. And that's why it hasn't happened yet.
I flip a coin. That my opinion is, you know, worth what it's worth, but he's looking for a proxy to fire Mueller.
Yeah, right.
He's looking for the equivalent of Michael Cohen and his hookers.
Yeah,
he's looking for someone.
I need my Roy Cohn. He keeps he said that, right?
Yeah. Some stooge in between him and the person he wants to get rid of to do the dirty work so he can stand on a plane full of reporters and say, I don't know anything about it. I have no idea what they're talking about. I wasn't even there. That's because he's a coward. Let's face it, at core. Donald Trump's most salient feature is very much like every other Republican. They're cowards.
Yeah. He doesn't want to fire anybody. He doesn't want to go to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He's not going again this year to that. He's sending Sarah Huckabee Sanders instead. Did you know
That's why the media is set up that way. The media is set up to make sure Republican and conservatives, they're pretty much the same thing, never actually get confronted by opposing voices that would really oppose them. Because
if you really oppose them, then your tone, we don't like your tone. So.
Very uncivil. Very, very uncivil. And the same guy, that Trump guy, just keeps lying about the trade deficit with China. Just lies about it. And this is just, people look at the numbers, what it actually is, and what he keeps saying, and said, no, he's lying. Everyone knows he's lying. You know he's lying. Everyone who works for him knows he's lying. But that's just who he is. Well, that means he should be former President Donald Trump, who resigned in disgrace or was impeached, because that's unacceptable. And so, and once you reach the point where people are just shrugging, you have to then go past Trump to the Congress and say, no. The problem is in the Congress. The problem is Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell are absolutely complicit criminals in this massive enterprise to take down the U.S. government. They're the problem. They're the cops on the beat. They're the ones who should be enforcing the law. They refuse to do it. And Trey Gowdy's little, you know, moment this week was kind of hilarious.
Trey Gowdy, let's be clear. Trey Gowdy is selling a book that he's written with Tim Scott about, you know, our odd friendship. What, that you're both conservative Republicans, right? No, it's because they're, you know, they're doing the Ebony and Ivory tour.
Right.
And
they're basically the defiant ones, honey. They're running through the night with chains on their ankles, trying to get away from the liberals. And it's amazing.
Yeah. And he's come out and said he didn't like the job. He didn't like being congressman. He's retiring from the Congress because he wants to be a federal judge, by the way. And that's why he's being so reasonable now about, you know, Donald Trump, if he's not guilty, should stop acting like he's guilty. Well, you know, it's real courageous of all these Republicans, if they're leaving the Congress and not beholden to a reelection campaign, to all of a sudden have courage to say something.
Well, that's
anyway,
that's the rule. I mean, that's the rule.
Yeah.
It's Republicans suddenly got real ballsy 2 minutes after George Bush was out of office.
Right, when he was out of office.
Republicans
exactly.
got real, real brave the minute that the consequences of their behavior is in their rearview mirror. And then they change their name, or they pretend they weren't there, or they call themselves a Tea Party, or they resign, or they write a book. Whatever they do, they're it's somebody else. It's over there. It's those people over there. And I want to make sure we have, Joe Scarborough on our notes, because that's where we're headed. But right now,
we're headed there.
Right now we have China.
We're on number 10, actually. That's even, so that's my turn. A Defense Department appointee resigned after being outed for posting birther conspiracies. And more things about, you have the word controversial. Don't use the word controversial. Yeah. It's lying.
But, you know.
Obama conspiracy theories, Mrs. Obama is a man. Those aren't his kids. He's a Kenyan, he's a Muslim, et cetera, et cetera. And that was a Trump appointee, was it?
Which is not uncommon. I mean, most Republicans believe a lot of that still to this day.
They do. And polls show that. Absolutely.
Retiring Planned Parenthood president, Cecile Richards.
I believe she has retired, actually. Yeah.
She's probably written a book too.
She's written a book called, Make Trouble or Making Trouble. Go Make Trouble. Something like that.
Go Buy It is what the title of it really is. But said that Ivanka and her Jared friend tried to bribe her with an increase in federal funding for Planned Parenthood in exchange for agreeing to stop providing abortion services.
Yeah, because they wanted they thought, we're the liberal New Yorker types and we can talk to her and have lunch with her. And just get her to stop doing the abortion thing, and then that's a win-win.
And that's all they know.
And not really recognizing who she serves and what the purpose of Planned Parenthood is. It's not to have abortions. It's to give women financial, health, and personal aegis to run their lives in a reproductive health way.
Well, and this is, a really good, a good small example of why we can't talk to each other. Because this is what happens when principled people and unprincipled scum sit down and talk, because they have no frame of reference for each other. Cecile Richards is doing things for women who desperately need health care.
Right.
Jared and Ivanka are used to writing checks to bribe people to make problems.
To fix the problem.
Because that's how the Trump organization works. You bribe people and get them out of your way, and then they stop being problematic. And and when those two people try to talk to each other, they don't speak anything like the same language. This is the problem between the left and the right, frankly. The right only speaks in weirdo, ingrown, bizarre, racist conspiracy theories to itself. And
well, this is what I wanted to say about Trey Gowdy, too, is Trey Gowdy being kind of sad and lonesome and empty-handed at this point in his career because he's leaving the Congress and he really didn't like it and he has nothing to show for it. He has nothing to show for it.
You showed me a tissue when you said that.
Yeah, and I held out a tissue with liberal tears on it because I was crying because I was bent out of shape this afternoon. I said, this is all he's got to show for it. He made a liberal cry. He made, you know, 3 million women, 20 million women in this country cry on election night. He prevented Hillary Clinton from becoming president with his endless Benghazi investigations.
Right. Witch hunts, yep.
And lying and having a witch hunt and heading it up. And he has nothing else to show for it except this wet tissue. That's all he's got. But when the end game of everything you do in politics is power, it's just to have power. It's just we're going to get that Supreme Court seat and we'll do whatever it takes, including steal the seat from the Democratic black president. We will steal that seat and we're going to give it to Gorsuch. And all these Republicans saying to themselves, well, we got Gorsuch. What did you get? Are you going to overturn Roe v. Wade? Really? And then what? And then what have you got? You've upset a lot of women and you've probably destroyed your party for eternity at that point.
Yeah, but we made liberals cry.
We made liberals cry. Wow, you got that. Okay, yeah, you got people mad. You got women mad. You got suburban women. You've got a whole generation of kids who will never vote Republican for the rest of their lives. Congratulations. But if the end game is only power, if that's all it is, it's not about making the world a better place. It's not about cutting taxes. It's not about cutting taxes. Cutting taxes is just about I get mine and the world can go to hell. It's greed.
Well, that's the point. They are mostly bitter old white men. And they want to go to their grave, which is coming soon to a theater near them, without giving anything back. They want to take it all with them. They want to be lionized and applauded and treated as the lords of the earth until they die. And that and the only thing standing in their way from their point of view is the liberal conspiracy to take their money away and give it to brown people.
Right, right.
And so that must be destroyed at all costs. And they're, of course, absolute brainwashed lumps of meat who are serving the purposes of the Koch family and the Mercer family, who just care about getting rid of government and getting rid of taxes so they can run everything by corporate fiat.
Right.
That's all they care about.
And that brings us to the next item.
It does.
Trump and congressional Republicans wanting to cut billions of dollars from the bipartisan spending deal.
They just signed.
They just signed because their funders are unhappy. We run you. We own you. So we've had time to read it. We want you to take this out and this out and this out. And this is going on in a micro way in Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know, the idea that the teacher strike is just about a raise and we gave you a raise and you should be happy. And watching Twitter this week about the teacher walkout. And well, if I got a raise, I wouldn't go on strike. They got a raise. Well, they got part of the raise they asked for. They asked for a guarantee of raise for the next 2 years. And they do not trust their legislature to not undo all of this next week.
Exactly. Why? And why would they?
Because that's what happens. Right. Because that's what happens. They pass a tax, they pass a gas tax, or they pass a lottery. They have a lottery that 30% has to go to, of the funding has to go to schools. And there is a commission that is set up so that the legislature isn't allowed to just cut education funding when lottery money comes in. So there's no zero-sum game. That money goes to schooling, to improve schooling.
So it's foolproof, Blue Gal. It's foolproof. You can't.
It's supposed to be foolproof. It's supposed to be foolproof. But the commission, which obviously has Republicans on it, says, well, if the cuts into government are across the board, then you're not cutting school funding just because the lottery money is coming in. So we'll allow that. So they just go, okay, we're cutting that, and we're also cutting food programs, and we're also cutting payments, Medicaid payments, and we're also cutting infrastructure spending, and we're also cutting this. So we're cutting all government. So that means that we can just say, oh, it's the lottery. You take the lottery money, yeah, and you spend it as you want. So they just, schools don't trust, the school teachers do not trust the legislature at all because they screw with them constantly. And they are owned, the legislature is owned by the oil industry in Oklahoma. That's it. It takes a three-quarter supermajority in the legislature to pass any tax on oil exploration. Who wrote that rule? Who decided that?
The small farmers.
Yeah.
The good people. And yeah, we know exactly who wrote that. Yeah, and it's written that way specifically to make sure that a corporation can run your state by fiat.
Exactly. And so this isn't about a raise. This isn't just about tattered textbooks and broken chairs. No. This is about trust. And this is about a government that's responsive to the needs of the population.
Uh-huh.
And clearly the state government of Oklahoma is not. Oh, by the way, the governor of Oklahoma says Antifa is among the strikers.
Sure. I'm sure they are, because they're everywhere, Blue Gal.
Yeah.
There's one behind me right now making me say all this shit.
Uh-huh. And also, you know, these strikers, it's like a teenager that wants a better car. You can't give them everything they want.
Right.
You know? Okay.
Well, and one of the ways to get rid of these people by prying them out of office is to vote. And one of the ways to rig the vote is to rig the census. And that's why 17 states and Washington, D.C. and six major American cities are all suing the stupid administration to stop it from asking people if they're citizens on the 2020 census. The Constitution doesn't say citizens. It says people.
Yeah.
Persons, mm-hmm. period. And the only reason to include this question is to make sure that you scare people away from answering the census. And who do you scare away by doing that? People who are suspicious of the government, people who live in the shadows, people who are immigrants, even legal immigrants who are not sure if they're going to get thrown out tomorrow because Stephen Miller might just wake up one day and say, you know what? Let's deport everybody. Let's just deport everybody. If you haven't been here three generations, out you go. So as long as those people are running the government, and they are absolutely running the government, there's no reason for anyone who's an immigrant or a friend of an immigrant or has a resident alien status, anything, to trust the government at all. And so that's the purpose of doing this, to downcount people who most desperately need government services and need representation, and make sure that that we keep tilting, artificially tilting, because the demographics are really clear. The Republican Party is a zombie. It's a dead body that's shambling forward that will eventually just collapse of its own corruption and failure and ludicrousness. But that day is not here yet. And they're trying to prolong, you know, keep themselves out of the grave as long as possible. And one way to do that is to cheat on the census.
Mark Zuckerberg has said that most Facebook users should assume that their public profile has been scraped. And
Jesus Christ.
This morning, the woman that also is a CEO at Facebook, Sheryl Sandberg, said, well, if you want a no ad and no tracing and no, you know, if you don't want your information scraped so that we can provide ads to you that are tailored to your clicking them, that would be a paid product. So
that's right.
And I get that. I get that Facebook is free and people should be very aware that you're the product. But that does not explain why Facebook had employees working in the Cambridge Analytica office to make sure that everything was going smoothly for them in terms of scraping that information and just make, you know, we're going to accommodate you in every way possible, Cambridge Analytica, to make sure that the data you get from our customers is just what you need.
Yeah.
And the tilt between users and advertisers was is so completely out of whack. They need to be regulated. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I forget who was saying this. I think it might have been Malcolm Nance, but I'm not sure. I don't want to attribute to him. Cambridge Analytica is like some Bond villain.
Yeah.
I mean, they need a lair in a volcano and a pool full of sharks to complete the look, because they are the nexus of Steve Bannon and the Mercer family and the Russians
and the Groundswell people and the oil companies and everybody. Yep. Yeah. Yep, they
are using data that they stole off of Facebook, mm-hmm. which Facebook made, you know, they opened the door and said, come on in, loot the place, we don't care, to screw up American democracy on purpose this creepy band of oligarchs and traitors. And that's absolute, right there is enough to get this administration impeached. Should be.
Yep, should be. All right, tell us about this future trivia night question, Drift.
Alex Vanderzwan. Alexander Vanderzwan, who has a nice sort of poetic sounding name, is going to be a future trivia night question. The question will be, who was the first person to be sentenced in the great Trump disaster? And it's Alexander Vanderzwan. He's going to jail for 6 months, apparently. The judge said, no, you're not going to just take out your checkbook and write us a check. You have to go to jail. Mm-hmm. And it really is kind of a test case. Are the people who are surrounding Donald Trump and trying to protect him and his band of criminals going to let one of theirs sort of go to jail? Are they going to pardon him? Are they going to do something to spare him? Or is the judge going to say, no, we're going to come after you, and the asshole in the White House is going to let you burn for it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we'll see where Paul Manafort stands. Because Paul Manafort is just assuming. I assume he's just assuming. Now that he's wearing ankle bracelets on his wrists and his ankles and around his neck, and you know every other part of his body has some sort of tracking device on it, is assuming that Donald Trump's going to swoop in at the last minute and pardon him.
Yeah, sure.
And if it turns out Donald Trump can't do that or won't do that, or just is reserving it for my very close circle of friends and fellow criminals,
my family and myself. Yep.
Then the flipping will begin. Because if Paul Manafort isn't pardoned, he's going to prison forever.
Forever, yeah.
And those are your two choices. Now, maybe that's preferable to having polonium soup.
I was going to say, I think for Alex Vanderzwan, going to jail is preferable to having, you know, Vladimir Putin put poison in your soup. Yeah.
Is there any good news on the horizon, Blue Valley?
I don't particularly think that Democrats should brag about fundraising at this point. I think Beto O'Rourke has raised more than $6.7 million in the first quarter of 2018. He has outraised Cruz for three of the last four reporting periods. Ted Cruz needs to be defeated. We want to applaud our angel nerd, Tammy, for taking him on face to face. You can go see that at Crooks and Liars. You can see that at, we cross posted that. And, it's a video of her taking on Ted Cruz face to face. But I don't like money in politics. And I don't like walking into the trap that we are walking into with this, which is, oh, look at Beto O'Rourke. He's got all this outside liberal money. So I'm glad he's raising so much money. Apparently, you know, you need that to win elections. You need millions and millions of dollars, especially to win a Senate seat. But that's a tragedy, and that's something we need to fix in our democracy. So, and I'm sure Beto O'Rourke agrees with me about that. So, it is also small contributions.
Yeah, which is fine. That's great. But I agree with you.
Apparently, it was 141,000 contributions. So that's terrific. That's great.
Money in politics is, you know, the root of all evil. And you're never going to get rid of all of it, but you can get rid of a big chunk of it. You can get rid of untraceable money. You can get rid of unlimited money. You can get rid of corporate money. You can make it publicly financed. There's lots of things like guns, Blue Gal. You will never be rid of it entirely, but there are things you can do to make the situation vastly better than it is today. And we're just choosing as a country not to do that because, you know, the people in office kind of depend on a shitload of money to beat other people. So anyway, Vladimir Putin invited himself to Donald Trump's house, or Trump invited Putin to his house, or he invited himself in to see the whether or not the White House is truly in tippy-top shape, because that's what Donald Trump promised. Tippy-top. We call it tippy-top. Yes, we do. So, yeah, we learned about it, I believe, through Russian media.
We did.
That Donald Trump said, told Vlad, Vlad, come look at my house, man. It's so cool. I got so many cool things here. Come check it out. Come on. Okay, Donald, calm down. I'll be there in a little bit. Don't worry about it. Now, you know, lube yourself up, because we're going to have a really good time. That's, you know, that's our president. He's a Russian puppet. The Russian flag flies over the White House, and Donald Trump really doesn't give a shit anymore that you and I know it, or the rest of the world knows it. And the rest of the world is moving on. They're factoring in the fact the United States is not only no longer a reliable anything, but that it's run by a lunatic who is the puppet of their adversary. And that might change in 2 years. I hope it will. But for right now, there's no one in government who has any leverage other than Robert Mueller, who has any interest or desire to stop the worst administration in American history from fucking the country up. Worse than it's been fucked up since the Civil War. And that's just the way things are.
And we should leave a comment about this tippy top shape. This happened during the Easter egg roll. Donald Trump sort of forgot what the name of the White House was. He was giving a speech about how great the military buildup under his administration was to a bunch of children at the Easter egg hunt. And I think at one moment he actually realized he was speaking to children, forgot the name of the White House, and so decided to start talking baby talk and said tippy-top shape. We're in tippy-top shape. Okay. Ted Nugent and Laura Ingraham found out what the wrong side of history looks like. Ace Hardware just pulled their Laura Ingraham ad. So people are still pulling ads this week from Laura Ingraham's show. Ted Nugent also decided to say that, and Ann Coulter, there seems to be a lot of let's shoot immigrants or let's have the military shoot an immigrant. Let's shoot liberals. Let's shoot people. That seems to be part of the, talk of the week from that side of the political spectrum. You know, conversation, Driftglass. Okay.
We just need to have the conversation. Let's teach the controversy. Well,
and the state of Idaho, the legislature in Idaho is considering the death penalty for abortions. Because why not?
Yeah.
So this is policy. Okay.
Well, remember all the, and it's crazy and that won't pass in Oregon, but remember all the shit that passed in the last 10 years was crazy 20 years ago.
Right.
And it just kept rolling. And the Republicans just kept at it. And that's why they have to go. Donald Trump tweeted that DACA is dead. No more DACA deal. DACA is dead. Dead DACA. DACA dead. Ippy tippy top. And so that's the news. There's no more DACA. There's no more DACA deal. There's a whole portfolio of lies that go around that about how Democrats blew it. If they just give me my wall, it's all their fault. It's Obama's fault, et cetera. There's just a whole interlocking series of lies that go into this, each one of which is just depressing and stupid. And the Republicans believe and repeat like the, you know, reprogrammable meatbags that they are. There is no way to have a rational conversation with Republicans anymore. It doesn't matter. You can show them what happened. You can explain to them why. You can talk to them about Chuck Schumer being willing to build this fucking wall in exchange for DACA and Donald Trump being the one who said, fuck it, I'm not going to do it. Immediately after he said he would, the fact that it's the Trump administration who ended DACA, not, it didn't just time out. They chose to do it. There's a whole bunch of stuff. And that's that.
Yeah. We got to speed this along. I'm sorry, but I apologize. And I apologize for our sound quality. If it's bad this week, we're working on it again. We're sorry about that. Local mm-hmm. news stations owned by Sinclair Broadcasting were forced to recite the same script warning of biased and false news and have, you know, the worst speaker on television his Boris Epstein videos on their yes. video. Okay.
You know, Blue Gal, Boris Epstein is a very, very smart man.
That's very good.
Boris Epstein says, no more DACA deal. No more DACA deal. And that is mandatory at every station that Sinclair owns.
Ted Crane said, beet crop look very good this year. 5-year plan.
And that's because why have anything of any quality when your audience are basically rodents?
Yeah.
You know, why bother with special effects when they're going to go, good DACA dead. So, you know, doesn't really matter. Your palate's already bastardized. Apparently, Donald Trump patched in Loud Obbs, you know, Lou Dobbs, Fox business host, in the speakerphone in his senior level meetings on things like tax policy and trade and so forth, going so far as to interrupt officials so Dobbs could offer his opinion.
Yeah, on speakerphone, because why wouldn't you? Yes. Yeah.
Again, one more thing where what would have happened if Barack Obama had dialed in Oprah on conversations about, I don't know, healthcare? And Oprah said,
Rachel,
you know what?
Hey,
Rachel, what do you think about that? Again, tan suit would have been out the next day.
Yep. All right. Turns out the White House office responsible for recruiting and vetting political appointees is inexperienced. Who knew?
Yeah.
All right. We need to talk for a minute about Papadopoulos.
Yes.
Because I just found this story fascinating. He went to another bar, this time in Chicago, with his hot wife, and after a few drinks was talking to some random person who I believe turned out to be a journalist. Is that right?
Something like that.
Turned out to be willing to talk to Think Progress. I think that was it. Was willing to talk to Think Progress about what he heard. And, you know, Papadopoulos was just shooting off his mouth about, oh, no, I did this and I knew this person and I talked to the Russians and then I talked to the campaign and I was really important. And he is apparently entitled to do that, but if it comes out that anything he said in that bar is contrary to what he told Robert Mueller, they might bring him back and ask him about that. And and they also might bring back the person that sat there and went, wow, that's really interesting, and then went and called Think Progress. Okay. You want to talk for a minute about the movie we saw last weekend?
I want to mention that for your reference out there, I did write a post this week about why CPAC 2009 was the point at which the GOP became unsalvageable, unsavable.
Yeah. And you need to go read that.
Yeah.
It's very, very good.
It's
okay.
It's the point at which defending the lie became more important than life itself, which inexorably requires more lies, which inevitably requires more liars, which means at the end of that road, there was always going to be someone like Donald Trump. But let's talk about Ready Player One. Which was a visually delightful movie that I didn't like. Left a bad taste in my mouth. I liked the book very much. It was solid. It was real science fiction. It had a plot and it had characters who had stakes in the world. There were things that the world was shit, and this was your escape. There were villains who were real villains, and Steven Spielberg got rid of all that. The villains are cartoonish villains. There are no stakes at all. The world appears to be kind of awful, but you really can't tell by looking at it. Maybe just their neighborhood is bad. The oasis, which is the core of this story, is just a game. It's not where people go to do everything. It's hinted at, but in the book, it's very clear that there is no place else to go. I believe that's a line from the book. It's your school. It's your babysitter. It's where commerce is done. It's where banking is done. It's where you vacation. It is your entire life for most of the planet is inside this virtual reality. And the movie, it's just a game. It's a big, important game. But the idea that controlling this thing would be controlling all human destiny is completely lost. And the villain was, dumb and silly. The violence was for jokes mostly, and they screwed with the characters. They
did, and they screwed with the plot. And some of it, yeah. I understand they had to do that. Getting the rights to all of that right. 80s stuff would have been very hard. They replaced it with Steven Spielberg properties, which is understandable. But they didn't have to mess with the actual motives of the characters as much as they did. We do recommend, by the way, yes. Ready Player One on audiobook, read by Will Wheaton. And a very, very well done audiobook.
But not the movie. Don't waste your money. Don't waste your time.
Yeah, don't waste your money on the movie. All right. Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an Internet Kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's Internet Kitty is Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, my God.
Teddy Roosevelt, yes, he supports the New Deal, and he's very vocal about traitors in the GOP. So he's one of those California voters. Yeah, you know, we love Teddy Roosevelt, and you can see him on our Facebook page and website. You can send your Internet Kitty to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service, Go Postal Unions, letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. Our PayPal and postal address information, as well as our GoFundMe and Patreon, is all there at proleftpod.com. Thank you to those who have been giving to Drift Classes fundraiser, 13-year anniversary fundraiser, and also to our GoFundMe. I'm actually about to update the photo this weekend that goes with our GoFundMe. I have about $3,000 worth of medical bills to pay off, and that's what that money will go. That will be earmarked for that. And we really appreciate you contributing to the show that way. Where am I? Here I am. Please share our show on Facebook or Twitter. And thank you for doing that. Hey, Drift Class, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
You know, Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties are just ippity-tippity-tippity-top.
Let's think about living. Let's think about loving. Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2018, DGBG Productions Incorporated.